All right, good singing this morning. It's good to have everyone this morning. We do have a lot, again, that are out and ill, and we want to remember them this morning in prayer and hope and pray that the Lord draws nigh to them in this hour of sickness. Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning. Turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22. We spent the last 6 weeks looking at prayer, and I hope and pray that those messages have encouraged you to pray more, seek the Lord more. This morning, I want to look at a passage of Scripture which I believe to be one of the most important passages of Scripture in the entire Word of God. All and every single Word of God is important. Yet if I had to put a passage of Scripture in a category of importance, I would have to say that the passage we'll be looking at this morning is one of the most important passages of Scripture that you'll find within Holy Scripture. And I hope and pray that God would give me utterance this morning to preach its truths in such a way that you'll be able to receive it and it will encourage and challenge you as a child of God. Matthew chapter 22, verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer. Now a lawyer, before I go any further, was not really the type of lawyer we have today, but a lawyer back then was one who studied the law. That was his main purpose. He was to study the law of God in every aspect, in every way. He was supposed to be an expert concerning all the laws of God, and there were more than merely 10 commandments. There were hundreds of laws of God, and his job was basically to study them all and to know them by heart. So this is this lawyer here. There was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him or testing Christ, and saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments," listen to this, "hang all the law and the prophets." That's a mighty bold statement. "On these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets." Loving God with all our hearts, with all our soul, and all our minds, and loving our neighbors as ourselves. May we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are already greatly humbled by this great commandment, one which I believe all of us could truly, honestly say we have fallen far short of. To love the Lord thy God, or our God, with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind is something that none of us has achieved. Yet, God, I pray that you'd give us a desire to long evermore for that love. Lord, we pray that you'd be honored and glorified this morning. Humble us by thy grace, but Lord, exalt us by thy mercy. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. And amen. We have recorded in our text this morning a certain conversation which took place between an unnamed lawyer and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible doesn't even give this man's name. It gives him no credit. And again, our Lord is confronted with a most serious and solemn question. What is the great commandment? And if you think about it, without considering who's asking it or his motives, that is a very great question. What is, concerning the law, the hundreds of laws that God has made, what is the great commandment? He didn't say the greatest. He said, what is the great commandment? And yet, the inquirer's true motive was all but sincere. Listen to what the Scripture says in verse 35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, testing him. He asked a great question, yet his motive wasn't sincere. His motive was evil and wicked. He wanted to tempt or test Christ. You see, the lawyer, being a studious student of the Word or of the law, thought he could get into an argument with the Lord. And I'm sure they had quite many conversations between the Pharisees, Sadducees, and the lawyers. What was the great commandment? And I'm sure everybody had their own opinion. Well, it's probably the first commandment. In other words, probably say, well, I believe it's probably the fourth commandment concerning the Sabbath. Another would say, well, I believe it's this commandment. And I'm sure they had a lot of debates about the greatest or the great commandments. And so he was tempting Christ, trying to lure him into an argument, to a conversation, to a debate, to ensnare him before the people. Because he's already silenced the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He's already put them to silence. Man would be wise, but Job said he's nothing but like an ass's wild coat. In other words, he's just as stupid and lame and dumb as an ass's wild coat. You got to figure, he's presenting this question to the Son of God. Now, he didn't believe he was the Son of God, but here's the Son of God, and so he's tempting him, trying to allure him into a debate. And you know, that's not so unusual. Many times, if I've talked to folks in this world about the Lord, they want to debate about who's got more wisdom than they do. They want to debate God about salvation, about eternity, about truth, about life. You ever notice that when you talk to people about the Lord? It's as though they want to stand on one plane with God and debate with God. Well, that might be what the Bible says, but this is my opinion. This is my argument. Just like this lawyer. They wanted to stand against the Almighty God, who knows all things, and debate with Him about their eternal souls, about the things of eternity, about truth, about life, about death. The world hasn't changed any at all. They still want to debate with God. Yet God doesn't allow Himself to be drawn into a debate, does He? He doesn't rebuke this man. He knows the hearts of all men. He doesn't rebuke this inquirer. He knows that his motive is not sincere. He didn't rebuke him for trying to tempt him. He answered his question. I like that. And he said, I'll tell you what it is. Herein is the great commandment. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This lawyer, like many people then and today, had no real desire to know the true answer. People don't want to know what the Bible says. You know that? They don't want to know what the Bible says. For he merely wished to tempt Christ in hopes of ensnaring him before the people. Don't allow yourself to get involved in vain conversations or debates about God. I like what Martin Lloyd-Jones said. Christ is not up for debate. We have a lot of people today, Christians, who rent out these great coliseums and churches, and they have debates between different religions. And Christ is not up for debate, neither is truth. He's not up for debate. It's a settled issue. And if men don't receive the truth, and they shall be condemned for ignoring and rejecting it. Read 1 Thessalonians. He wanted to simply ensnare the Lord. He didn't really want to know the answer to this question. But he got more than he asked for. And yet he in whose hand is the king's heart, and who turneth it whithersoever he will, according to Proverbs, would overrule this man's evil intentions. This man wanted to test Christ, lure him into debate, ensnare him. But instead, what the Lord did is He sovereignly overruled this man's evil intentions and brought out something good in this. You know, I wish we as God's people would be more acquainted and conscious of God's sovereign power and ability to govern and rule all things according to His perfect will, even to the very hearts and thoughts of men. We spoke about this on our Friday Bible study. We now have Bible study on Friday nights, and we're reading Pink's book on the sovereignty of God. But it's normal for us as believers to accept the sovereignty of God in general, but to apply that same truth to our lives in intricate detail is something we have trouble with. God not only sovereignly controls the whole universe, Beloved, God sovereignly controls the thoughts and hearts and intents of every single man, woman, and child as He chooses, be he saint or sinner. That's a comfort for every child of God. Do you remember what Joseph said in Genesis 50, speaking about his brethren who sold him into Israel or into Egypt? He says, But for you, you thought evil against me. I like the wording here. You thought evil against me, but God meant. God meant it for good. I like that. You thought, but God meant. And actually, if you look in the Hebrew, it's the same word, thought and meant. You thought evil against me, but God meant good to me. You see, it doesn't matter what men might do or say against God's people. They might think evil things towards us, but God means all things to be good for us. All things work together for good. Beloved, if we could just grasp a portion of that, I'm telling you, it would bring us great comfort as we seek to walk this pilgrimage in a world where people despise and persecute and hate us for being believers. They think evil against us, but God will mean or turn or overrule all things for our good. All things work together for the good. Beloved, I wish I could park there for a while, because that's a blessed truth that we need to understand a little bit more of, if not a lot more. So let man do his worst. God can turn and overrule all things to our good. That's what He did in our text. I like Jeremiah. He says it best in Jeremiah 10:23. He said, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. The way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Sinful man thinks he governs his own life. I got news for you. You don't govern your own life. You never have and you never will. This is one part that sinners hate about God. They don't like God to be sovereign. They want to be sovereign for themselves. They want to govern and rule and reign their own lives themselves. I am the one that's sitting at the helm. I am the one in control of my life. And God says, it's not in you to govern your way. It's not in you to direct your paths. And you know what? As believers, we should be thankful for that. I left California hoping to run away from God and life and everything else, and found out God's just as real in Germany as He was in California. You don't govern your own life, and you never will. Beloved, we are not at our own disposal. Beloved, we need to understand that. We are not at our own disposal, but we're under divine direction. We are not masters of our own way. Nor can we think that everything should be according to our own mind. Events, beloved, are often overruled so as to be contrary to our intentions and our expectations. That's what I like about God. As soon as we think we've got things figured out, God does something that goes beyond our farthest intentions and expectations. I love that about God. That's how big and great and wonderful God is. Joseph sitting in the back of that wagon heading towards Egypt after they drew him out of that pit, is probably going, Lord, I don't see how this fits into the dream that You gave me. Sitting in prison. Joseph's probably saying, Lord, I still don't see how this is fitting into Your expectations. I'm the farthest away from the throne I could ever be. What's the farthest place away from a throne but a dungeon? Things are not going the way I figured. They're going contrary to all my expectations. God loves to do that with us so that He might show Himself not only merciful and graceful, but He might show us as well that He's still sovereign and that He uses and does things totally contrary to our expectations. Beloved, what that does is that humbles us before God and makes us worship and praise Him and adore Him like never before. And in the worst case scenario, that gives us hope. God, according to my logic and understanding, there's no way out of this. But God, because You always do things far beyond my expectations, I believe and trust that whatever happens, it will be for my good and for Your glory. Beloved, what a comfort that is for God's people. And so it was in our text. This man tempted to test Him. to tempt him. And yet Christ overruled it to bring about good. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Now listen to this. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Now, if these words concluded our Lord's answer concerning the great commandment, if all he said is, You shalt love the Lord thy God, it would have been a whole different situation. If that's all he said, beloved, that would be enough to condemn and convict every single one of us, because he said, You're to love the Lord thy God. But if that's where he stopped, if he stopped right there without saying anything else, if he just said, Thou shalt love the Lord our God, it would be completely different to what he says later. Yet our Lord would take such love to the greatest and uttermost height. He says, You're not to only just love God. Now listen to this. Stay with me. He said, You're not only to love the Lord thy God, but I'm going to tell you what kind of love that God demands from you. It's not merely loving God. It's easy to say, I love someone. But he said, this is how you must love God. With all thy heart. With all thy soul. With all thy mind. You see, to simply say that we love someone. Listen to me. To simply say we love someone leaves the measure and quality of such love to our own discretion and liking. I love you and I'll set the measure to it. I love you this much or I love you this less. To simply say I love someone doesn't give any kind of measure or quality to that love. It simply allows us to love them to our own discretion or opinion. Yet our Lord Himself would define the measure and quality of such love men owe to God. He said, this is the love you owe to God. You ask what the great commandment is? He knew this lawyer was not converted. He knew he wasn't a believer. He said, you ask what the great commandment is? This is what it is. Not only to love God, but you are to love the Lord thy God. He calls Him thy God, your Creator, the Sovereign God. You're to love Him with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. I don't know about you, but I bet that lawyer stood there with his mouth open as well as everybody else around him. I thought surely he'd say the Sabbath. Or maybe he'd say, don't create another image. Or thou shalt have no other gods. Maybe he should have said, thou will not take the name of the Lord in vain. But this answer totally confused everybody. Especially when it said, on these hang all the law and prophets. If you don't have this, you can know all the law and prophets and you have nothing. This is the great commandment. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and with all thy mind. With all the faculties and powers that your heart can muster. With your soul, with your very life. Nothing should be more dear than Christ. You should be willing to lay down your life. That's what soul means. Heart means your deepest affections, your most greatest emotions. Love Him with everything that you got. Soul means your very life. Your life is not important in comparison to your love for God. You're willing to lay down your life for God and mind. Everything that you think to be right, everything that you think and feel to be good in life should all be for God. Everything, all the faculties of your soul, body, mind, emotions, all of it. Beloved, that is a great command. And I don't know about you, but it greatly humbles me when he says that, because I fall far short of such love. Who's capable of loving God like that? When we look around Christians today, do we see such love as that? That they're loving God with all the faculties of their soul, of their heart, of their mind? They're living solely for Jesus is all the world to me. But when you look at the modern, or if you look at the average Christian today, we don't see such love as that. Beloved, these words would bring great condemnation and conviction on all those whose religion or profession consisted merely in outward performances and duties. This must have pierced the heart of that lawyer. He knew every law. Yet when he began to hear what the Lord said and began to search his own heart, I believe with all my heart, he had to say, I don't love God like that. I know the law, but I don't love God like that. But beloved, the lawyer's not alone. You know how many people sit in churches this morning? No scripture, holding a Bible in their hand, profess to know Christ, and yet if they search their own hearts to see if they possess such love for God, they'd have to be honest with themselves and say, I don't possess such love for God. I'm not willing to lay down my life. I'm not willing to count all things but dung that I might live for Christ. You can tell that in many churches today. That's why Wednesdays in the Bible studies and prayer meetings, people's not there. In Bible studies you have through the week, people's not there. Why? Well, if we love God, wherever God's Word is being preached and taught, I'm telling you, we would be there. If it's all possible, I would be there. Why? Because I love God with all my heart and all my soul and all my mind. And yet we're not. I'm sure the lawyer said, I have no other God. That's the first commandment. I have made no graven image. I've not taken the Lord's name in vain. I've remembered the Sabbath. I've honored mother and father. I've not killed. I've not committed adultery. I've not stole, bore false witness, or coveted. He said, I've done none of those things. Yet if I've kept all these commandments without loving God with all my heart, all my soul, and all my mind, my religion, my profession is but vain. That's what the Lord's saying. You can have all those things. You can keep all those things. But if you did them or kept them without loving me with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, your religion, your profession is in vain. Beloved, that's a mighty big statement. Why do we do what we do for the Lord? Is it because we love Him with all our heart, soul, and mind? Or is it simply because that's the right thing to do? When we read Scripture, is it because we have a longing and desire to know more of Christ? When we pray, is it our desire to draw closer to Him? You see, beloved, these are questions we've got to answer ourselves, because right now in this present life, we might not think very much about them. But when we reach that day when we shall be standing on that great divine, which is called death, we're going to be asking ourselves the question, do I really love Christ? Not if I kept the commandments. Try to find assurance and hope and comfort when you face death in works. You'll never get it. I guarantee you. Well, I've done this and I've done that and I've went here. No, I'm telling you, when it comes down to it, you're going to be asking yourself the main, most important question of all, do I love God? You see why this is one of the most important passages of Scripture in the entire Holy Writ? Song of Solomon's in all hurry says, love is strong as death. Do you know love is the strongest? Listen to this. And it is. Love is the strongest, most vigorous, most violent passion. You know what people do for love? Even this lawyer, even though he didn't know anything about the love of God, by him saying, love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, this lawyer, being human like we are, knowing the emotion of love, knew that that kind of love was not in his heart. But it is. It is the most violent. It is the strongest. It is the most vigorous of all passions. You will stop at nothing when you love somebody. And when it possesses all the heart and all the soul and all the mind, beloved, nothing shall draw it away from its object. If your love is set on one thing, I remember one time, or more than one time, when I was dating my wife in Germany, and this doesn't compare at all. It's small and insignificant to what the love he's talking about. But to kind of give you an illustration, I was out on maneuvers in Germany in the wintertime, and it's cold over there in the wintertime. And I wanted to talk to my girlfriend, which would be my wife later. I stood in a line for the phone booth outside for over an hour and 45 minutes, and it was freezing cold, just to be able to talk to her for 5 minutes. And that cold didn't bother me a bit as long as I could talk to her for 5 minutes. I would walk from one side of the city of Heilbronn to the other just to see my wife and walk back in time for formation. Now that doesn't compare nothing to what he's talking about, but that's what love will drive one to do. And so when I see a church having services and Bible studies and Christians able to be there and they're not, I question how much they love God. Because wherever he's preached, wherever that blessed book is opened and wherever Christ is taught, oh God, I want to be there because I know so little about you. You see, when you love something enough, it's stronger than death. And people see that and they say, man, they sure love Christ. You see why this is a great commandment? Every energy, resource, and power and ability, if love possesses our heart, will be set to work to obtain and satisfy the object we love. Nothing, no sacrifice, too great or small for Christ. People ask me sometimes, preacher, you got a full-time job, you need to kind of slow down. I don't want to slow down. If I burn myself out for Christ, I can't find any other way to live my life but to burn myself out for Christ. And even then, I feel I've not sufficiently done what I need to do. Beloved, this is the essence of true Christianity. On this hangs all the law and prophets. Everything that's said in the law, everything the prophets prophesied, it all hangs on this great commandment. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. We sang a song on Friday night that I love. I've been anxious to sing them old hymns for so long. It said, oh, love that will not let me go. You see, we could have never loved God as we ought. We love Him because He loved us first. And He said in the Old Testament, He said, I'll give you a heart to love me. I never loved God before I got saved. But oh, when God saved me, just like when He saved you, if you're saved, He gave you a heart to love God. And I'm telling you, it's the most richest, purest, greatest thing that ever happened to you. Oh, love that will not let me go. Listen to this. I rest my weary soul in Thee. This is the part I like. I give Thee back the life I owe. Heart, soul, and mind. That in Thine ocean depths, His depths of love, its flow may richer, fuller be. You want to know more of the love of God? Give back your life that you owe. And watch God open the portals of heaven and reveal unto you things that you knew not. Oh, beloved, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind. That's impossible without God's grace. But oh, when God grants us that ability, when He gives us, takes out the heart of stone and gives us a heart of flesh, beloved, may God give us grace to grow in that love. Because love is not only the most strongest, the most vicious, the most violent passion, it is also the one that wilts the quickest. Keep yourselves, Jude said. Military, keep yourselves in the love of God. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, O take and seal it. Seal it for Thine courts above. In closing, beloved, that's going to be the question you're going to answer yourself when you face death. Not how long would you be a member in a church. Not if you knew the doctrines. Not if you read the Scriptures. The question is going to be, do I really, sincerely, and truly love God? Amen? May God grant us grace. And next week, we can't look at the first without looking at the second. The second is like unto it. Love thy neighbor as thyself. We want to look at that so we can understand a little bit more. May God grant us grace to love Him more purely, more sacrificially, okay, more wholeheartedly. Amen? Let's pray. Our Father, again, we thank You for Thy Word. We thank You not only for its convicting power, but we thank You for its challenging power. Lord, we thank You for its transforming power. We do pray, dear God, that You would help Your children. Help us all that we might seek to achieve more of this love with all our hearts, all our souls, and all our minds. We fall so infinitely short. God, forgive us. Help us, we pray. We pray for those this morning that know nothing of Your love. God, we pray, dear God, that You'd, Lord, just break those hearts of stone and help them to realize and see that it is the most cursed thing not to love the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord God, I pray that You'd open up the eyes of those sinners that know not Thee and realize the greatest sin they commit against God is that they do not love the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, God, be honored and glorified in all things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.